And just like that, we're back here on SiriusXM Faction Talk Channel 103. This is Paper Route, presented by I Am Athlete. And I'm your host, Brandon Tyrone Marshall. I'm throwing the lob to Andrew and BC to introduce themselves, say whatever the hell they want to say, and include their middle names.
All right, guys. I ain't one that's afraid of my middle name, man. I'm Andrew Felix. Who? Yes, I have a cat's name, and I love cats. No response? Like, come on. You just gonna laugh at my name and not say nothing?
I was waiting for BC to go, but I mean, it doesn't surprise me that your middle name is Felix. Yes. And that you like cats, doesn't it? So, I don't like cats. Peter, don't call me, but I hate cats, man.
Yeah, cats. I can't. But, I mean, you know, they cool. They're self-cleaning and all of that. But other than that, like, nah.
That's it.
So y'all dog guys or what?
I'm a dog guy. I got a dog. I like my dog. I don't like nobody else's dog.
That's a true black man's response right there.
I like my dog.
That's what I be saying too. Like, yeah, I don't trust nobody else's dog.
Yeah.
This happened to me the other day. I hate this because I'm not a big dog guy. I grew up with a lot of dogs. My brother used to actually, what you call it? Breed dogs.
Breed, yeah.
So like I used to actually be around dogs a lot. But people will always assume you want to pet their dogs.
You're right.
So the other day, a dog is walking directly towards me, and the lady's like, oh, I'm sorry. And I'm just starting to cut a hard beeline. I'm like, I don't want to touch your dog. Get your dog away from me.
Right.
But it's like everyone assumes you want to touch
your
dog.
That's right. I think it's a cultural thing, right? Like, because like what BC said, that's a typical response, you know, from someone like BC to look like
of
BC
his culture.
From where BC from. It's like, no, I'm a my dog guy. Meaning like, look, they're the other side, anytime they see a dog, it's like, oh, doggy. No, don't do that. And then also, it's like, don't touch my dog.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. I didn't invite you for a doggy hug. Like, don't be coming over here touching my dog and all that. Like,
that's how I feel about my cats, bro. Don't touch my cat.
All right, BC, do you want to introduce yourself? Because you didn't do that.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm BC. BC in the booth, the one and only.
He didn't give his middle name.
He didn't give his real name up. His name ain't damn BC.
Hey, man, you never know, man. You don't, man.
All right, BC, we understand. You're under witness protection.
My middle name's Jerome, but I just don't use it. I just don't use it at all.
Hold up. So we got Felix, Tyrone, and Jerome.
Hold on, he said Jerome?
Yeah.
Yo,
he said, yeah.
I feel like our names are fitting, though.
I guess mine's is right there in that same category. Tyrone, Jerome, like,
yo,
it's so 70s, 80s, like, Jerome.
Yo, did my mom see
Jerome in the house? Yeah.
Oh my God, yo, this is the Tyrone and Jerome show from now on. I'm sorry. Yo, but speaking of dogs, y'all know that dog that used to be out in Philly getting a statue, right?
Oh, yeah. That boy AI.
Yes, sir.
Number three.
BC, it's crazy. It's crazy that I haven't really thought about this. I haven't thought about this, you know, and I don't know how much energy anybody else put into this thought, but, you know, obviously you saw Kobe was the latest to get a statue. Shaq just got one.
Shaq got a lot
in Orlando, right?
Mm-hmm. No, he got the banner.
He got his... His banner in the Raptors, he didn't get a statue.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, there's a couple of conversations that we have every so often about this, and I never thought about Allen Iverson in this way, but it's idiotic not to, right? Think about it. Like, you talk about what Allen Iverson did for that franchise, what he did for the NBA. It almost feels like we're too late. Does it feel that way? Because there's some people that say, well, why is Allen Iverson getting this? Like, why not?
Yeah, why not? Exactly.
Yeah,
no, I don't think it's too late. Actually, I think it's good. I'm glad that it's able to be done while he's here to, like, get his flowers. So I think that, you know, I don't think it's too late. I just feel like, you know, the time has passed and a lot of fans just kind of forget, like, what AI meant to basketball, period. Like, just coming in the league. Unapologetic with his own style, swag. It was just crazy. And then not only did he just come in here and just do it with all this flair, he actually produced on the court. Like, he actually went out and was ill, brought his team to the championship. Like, that was big for, what, 6 foot?
Right.
To lead his team all the way to the NBA Finals? Like, come on. Like, he did a lot for the game. And let's not even talk about – let's not forget about the wardrobe thing. You know what I mean? Like, he fought for – yeah, the cultural impact. Like, he fought for all these athletes to be able to come into the arena like that. Actually, they changed it because of him.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They had everybody wearing suits to the games, and then – it kind of came back around to this. So I know he has a big part in that, though. So, AI, I think it's great. I think it's amazing that he's able to get it right now, like, while he's here, and they appreciate and love him in Philly because he did a lot for Philly, for the Sixers.
Right.
Can I ask you guys a quick question, though? Does this start the era of
the
statue?
Job. That's your job.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. But I'm courteous as shit. I mean, sorry. But no, I just want to know, like, does this start the era of people getting statues that didn't win? And what I'm referring to specifically is someone like a Damian Lillard. I think he meant a lot to Portland. I think there's other players who meant a lot to Portland as well back in the day. Right. But did he do enough? Is it the stuff that Allen did off court, like the cultural stuff?
Yeah.
Like, how does Dame not fight for one now?
It's interesting that you brought Dame up. I think that Dame should get one, absolutely. But they're already showing love to Dame. I don't know if you saw this a couple of weeks ago, but I think it was Adidas named their building after them, like one of their one of their flagships offices in Portland. So that was pretty dope to see that, like, a guy that's still, you know, active, playing at a high level, getting those type of flowers. LeBron has a building named after him. He has, like, the LeBron Center, you know, I think it's in Portland, too, at Nike's headquarters. So it's dope. Yeah, hopefully this is the new way, right, where, you know, especially in the NBA, it's all about, like, have you won a championship? Yep. And I'm glad you brought up Dame, because there's some amazing, amazing, amazing ballers that's not getting the love because they didn't win a big one. They're not in certain conversations. I think the NBA BC does a great job with Allen Iverson, though, making sure that he gets his flowers.
Definitely. And I also want to be careful, though, with, like, not everybody deserves a statue. You know what I mean? So it really takes, like, the impact. I'm not even sure Dame should get one.
Ooh.
I'm not even sure. Like, that's another conversation. Right. I'm not sure Dame should even get one. I mean, you didn't win anything out there, and we're not handing out trophies just for staying with an organization for a long time. You know what I mean? So,
does he get his jersey retired? That's a different. So then you're looking at it as different.
Yeah,
jersey retirement to statue. Statue's different.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you could definitely get your jersey retired and get your jersey in the rafters for being one of the greatest Blazers. Statues, I think, should be just for the absolute greats.
Immortals.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But here's my thing. If I'm the owner of this team, right, and this guy has shown so much loyalty to my organization in the era where everybody's bouncing.
Yep.
And chasing the ring or trying to peer up and go to other places. Like, to me, that's how I'll show it back. It's like, yo, I'm retiring your jersey. You're in the rafters. And I'm also going to build a statue, because I also think about, like, I want to be the Chicago Bears if I'm an owner, right? Like, I want people to talk about me, you know, over the next 100 years, like they talk about, you know, Hollis Hall. Mr. McCaskey and that type, right? So to do that, you need your superstar athletes to still be kind of enshrined in the fabrics of your organization. So that's the only reason I'm, you know, entertaining this. Like, I'll entertain a Dame Lillard statue, BC, is because of, like, what he did for that franchise. And I'm looking at it from an ownership standpoint. It's like, how do you repay that? Or should you repay it?
I mean, he didn't stay. He did eventually leave.
He stayed 5 years too long.
I know, but he eventually did decide to leave. I don't know. The Dame thing, listen, Dame is great. There's no Dame hate. I'm just saying that would be a little, that would have to be a discussion. Now, if you're talking about, you know, Steph Curry, if we're just talking about guards right now, like Steph Curry, he's there, stayed with the team, won 4 chips. Like, mm-hmm. he should definitely be, you know, immortalized in that organization.
I agree with you, WC, a little bit, because it's like you want to protect certain things, right? Yeah. You don't want it to become too free-for-all, and then some guy spends 5 years on a team, and then you have 30 statues around a stadium.
Yeah.
Like, that you know that gets mean? Ridiculous after a while. So right. I agree. It's just – it's such a fine line, because the only difference I see that Allen did was the cultural stuff. And I think also just, like, everyone always saw him as an underdog, being 6 feet tall. I looked him up, 165 pounds. That's just so dog, so man. Much smaller. And he
went,
you know what I mean?
Went at, you know, went at Jordan, went at, you know, went at everybody.
Shaq, everybody.
Kobe,
bro.
You know what I mean? So, like, you definitely, when you're talking about basketball greats and also impact, Allen Iverson's name has to be up there when it's talking about impact, cultural and on the floor.
I got another name for you. Mike Evans. So, big news today, brother. He is actually staying loyal. The news comes out of Tampa that Mike has just signed a 2-year, $52 million deal with $35 million guaranteed. And we want to go ahead and give you guys a little insert of him talking about it on a recent episode of I Am Athlete. Here we go.
You know, I want to finish my career in Tampa Bay, and I let that be known. You know, but this is the business of the game. Everybody knows that. You especially. You know it's a business. And you can go about it a certain amount of ways or different type of ways. And I just chose to go about it the only way I know how, just play ball. And because there's nothing I can do about it. I'm not going to mope around and just bring bad energy to the team. I'm under contract, and I'm going to fulfill that. And then after the season, you know, we'll see what needs to be done. But I had a great group of guys in the locker room who really helped me get over that.
So what's next, right? Like, what's next?
We're just trying to make a playoff push. And whatever happens after that happens.
Look, you're giving me look, Mike. You know I'm on the other side. Why you stop this politically correct? Stop being Larry Fitzgerald right now. Stop it. Give me the right.
Nah,
we want to know,
Larry,
bro.
Nah,
are you
Larry,
going
though.
Back to Tampa? Are you going back to Tampa? I'm just saying, like, Larry Fitzgerald, bro. Y'all are just like the pros pro. Y'all always going to do the right thing, say the right thing. But, like, can you give us a little something, bro? Are we staying in Tampa? You know
well,
what I mean?
Well, if he says the truth, then, yeah, I'm like Larry. Because I'm just saying the truth. It's up in the air, obviously, but right now I can't focus on that. I mean, it's in the back of my mind, obviously, because it's my future. But right now I'm trying to stay in the present and trying to win because that's what I love to do.
Can I ask one more question about this contract?
Course,
one more?
Of course.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I mean, like, why didn't it get done? What were you asking for? Were you asking for 40 mil? What were you asking for, Mike?
I can't give you the exact number, but we'll see. Whenever I sign my new contract, that's what it'll be close to that.
Mike, you're so funny, and you ain't going nowhere. I don't see how they let you go. You know what I'm saying? Just like you're just one of those guys. So I say like Larry Fitzgerald, like Larry was there forever, right? And like, you know, they end up moving him inside when he starts slowing down, and he still was catching 100 balls a year. It was unbelievable. Do you see yourself? And this is what I would say to you, bro. You know, depending on what you're trying, like, you've done everything already, right? Like, you know, we can talk Hall of Fame, but you want to, you know, that's another conversation. You know, you won a Super Bowl. You've made good money. You're going to make more money, right? You still have a lot left in the tank. You know, what I would say is when you go different places, they don't know you, right? And so, like, your relationship with everybody in the building in Tampa, from the grounds crew to the equipment managers to the chefs in the kitchen, to everybody, bro. It's like the medical staff, right? Like, you know how it is. Like, you can get to a point where it's like, yo, you might need a day or two, or you might need a half a practice or something like that. And they're like, oh, yeah, we know Mike Evans. But when you go to a new situation, they are trying to get to know you. And sometimes, like, you don't have that much time. It's like, yo, have you not seen the last 10 years? So what I would say to you is, like, man – hopefully you guys can work it out. You know, you've done everything, but it'd be a cool story because you don't see this in modern sports anymore where guys, you know, start in their career in one place.
Yeah. So, guys, if you want to catch the full interview of Mike Evans on the I Am Athlete YouTube page, you can go there. Sorry about that. But B, he said a lot in that clip, and he actually spoke a lot of it into existence.
Right.
So we got Evans back in Tampa. What needs to be said?
Listen, this isn't going to – so Mike Evans back in the NFL is not going to alter the 2024-25 NFL season. It's not. It's not. Because we're not looking for the Bucks like that. Now, if Coach Bowles can get this defense performing as a top five defense, which he's more than capable of doing, and then his offense can be a threat, a real threat, then they'll probably win the division and maybe make some noise in the playoffs. Maybe. But that division is trash. And it's up for grabs. There's a lot of action there. So it's not going to alter the course of next season. Now, if he went to the Kansas City Chiefs, different conversations. If he went to the Texans, different conversations. The Buffalo Bills, a different conversation, right? There are certainly teams that if Mike Evans was acquired, woo, boy, look out. But this is the best move for Mike Evans. And that's what I was saying in that interview, BC, is like, he did everything. And he jumps up and says, well, not everything. All right, well, from a statistics standpoint, bro, you balling. You're doing something that only Jerry Rice, I believe, have done. This is 10 years in a row going over 1,000. Mm. Just for that, you're solidified as a Hall of Famer. You are producing at a historical rate every single year.
Right.
All right? You won a Super Bowl. You got paid. And now you're getting paid again. So what else is there left? Like, if I was in this situation, say I was playing for my favorite team, the Jets, and I won a Super Bowl with the Jets, and then I was up. I had an opportunity to go somewhere else and potentially win a Super Bowl, a really good team. I would probably pick staying in New York than going to win another Super Bowl. Because now I got everything. I'm not greedy. I'm not chasing. Mm-hmm. I got my ring already. Statistically, I'm performing at a high level. I'm one of the best to do it. I'm in a comfortable situation that I love, my family loves. I wouldn't leave. So this is the best situation for Mike Evans. Mike Evans has everything, and now he stays in Tampa. That's hard to do in modern sports, is to start and end your career somewhere. Now, maybe after these two, he continues. But I literally see him as a Larry Fitzgerald type. Like, they'll pay him good money to stay around until he's ready to walk away. That's what I believe. There's some owners that's like that. And the player has to be diplomatic enough. He has to be professional enough to be able to work those relationships so he can get any and everything he wants out of the relationship. That's how I look at this.
I love how you put that, because it's like you're working him from a rookie to the vet, right? And he's on the same team, so he's got the consistency. He's the most well-known. You said something about knowing the groundskeepers. Like, all those little details makes him a legend in Tampa.
That's right. Right.
But let's just say, B, 2 years later, contract's done.
Doesn't matter.
So, but I'm asking you, what team should try to come after him? Right now,
but that doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all.
Yeah, no, because, like, he's going into year 11. I played 13, right? So, look, there's no reason why he – and this, I brought that up, but Larry Fitzgerald – Larry – turned into a tight end. So there's going to come an opportunity for him within the next 2 years, maybe even three, where he starts transitioning inside, goes from outside wide receiver and X, true X, dominant outside. Then he goes closer. So now you're going to start seeing him running routes and catching balls like Travis Kelce and the Kittles of the world and blocking more. Like, if he's able to do that and embrace that, he can play a long time, but it's going to have to be in Tampa. No one outside of Tampa is going to invest in a guy like that. That's all relationship-based, right? Because even if they know you can come in and produce Mike Evans, now I got to pay you a couple of million dollars. Like, I'm paying you a couple of million dollars when I can take that same money and get three receivers and develop them, and they grow into the next superstars, right? Yeah. Or forget about the production, just the opportunity, right? It's like, those reps that you're taking from my young wide receiver or tight end could be going to that person that can develop into something special. So the best thing can happen for him is stay there. And you can't look 2 years down the road right now.
Yeah, he literally, the ink hasn't even dried.
Right. But well, it's because it's not, I don't think it's going to be a, it's not like, you know, in basketball it's different, right? Where, mm-hmm. you know, if this was, you know, a Shea or a Devin Booker or a, you know, Brunson, guys like that. In basketball, you could be like, we're doing it even with Dame in his older age. It's like, all right, when this contract's over, where is it going to be? You can look that far. In the NFL, that shit is week to week, year to year, because mm-hmm. it's so brutal of a sport. You don't know what's going to happen. You know, yeah. you start talking about 12 year, 13, man, that's a blessing in itself. That's Hall right. of Fame, be able to play that long.
Yeah, that should be like the first checklist. Oh, he played over 10 years, yeah, Hall of Fame. Exactly. All right.
Yeah, eligible.
You know what? I'm caught between two teams with this.
What are you talking about, 2 years from now?
No.
I was about to say, you still
just the mindset. Meaning, like, New England, what they used to always say? Cut them 2 years early.
That's right.
Miami Heat, we saw them wheel the rocking chair out for Udonis.
That's right.
They were paying this man as much as they could and as little as they could to keep him on the squad.
That's right.
I just don't know, like, does football ever do that?
Or yeah, is they it, do.
Because I believe in cutting too early.
100%. You believe in cutting early?
Yeah, because what you just said.
But it's
I got three 18-year-olds and 20-year-olds over here who not getting reps because my 35-year-old receiver is over here.
It's relationships. That's why, you know, and that's why I say it's like Larry Fitzgerald. Mm-hmm. I have some amazing relationship, but I also, early on in my career, burnt some bridges, right? And I wouldn't change it for the world because my way of getting it done was they wasn't listening to me when I was taking that approach. When I started kicking balls and shit, they started listening. But, you know, when you get older, those relationships matter, and you start realizing that.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when you have amazing relationships is they hold you maybe a little too long. They give you, you know, a little bit more money, and they know they're overpaying, right? Mm. And so I was fortunate enough the second half of my career to go back and just look at some people and be like, man, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Like, even me and Ryan Fitzpatrick, my brother, like, even in our last year together, it was rough. You know, we sucked. We imploded that second year with the Jets. And we stopped talking for a little bit, a couple of months. And then I look up, I'm like, bro, we about to retire here soon. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to miss out on an amazing relationship with my brother because of some football shit. You know what I mean?
Like, you gotta wise up. Mm-hmm.
There's dudes still beefing over a game, like mm-hmm. 50, 60 years old competing or players. There's so much shit that goes right. on, and it's over a game. I'm like, damn, when you sitting here now, I'm 40. It's like, that shit don't even matter.
It really don't.
But you're my brother, though. I love mm-hmm. you. I love your family, right? And I think there's opportunity for more guys to do that. Think about it. Like, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady. Like, why are y'all beefing like that? Mm-hmm. Come on. Like, business should be business. But at the same time, when y'all did something amazing together, y'all can't go have a meal. Y'all can't hang out together. Y'all can't go on a vacation together.
It was just work.
After everything. But it's so competitive. It's so competitive. Right? A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts. Like, you have that type of beef. Shit's happening in a locker room. It's over a game. And I'm sorry, because that was like a big moment for me when I realized that the second half of my career, some people, this might be over some people's head because this is my experience playing in the league. I'm sitting here like, damn, reminiscing. But it was a big moment. Like, shit, I'm really going to be mad at Ryan Fitzpatrick over a bullshit game? Mm. I really like this guy. So if we don't correct it right now, then we probably won't ever talk again.
Yeah. Do you like to hold on to grudges? Some people do.
No, actually, I'm too nice. I'm too nice.
Like, it builds up.
My bark is so loud, though, that it just fucks up everything.
I get that.
You know what I'm saying?
Around, like, yeah, I get that.
You know what I'm saying? It's like when
you have good intentions, but that bark, when it come out.
Yeah, my boy's like, whoa. See, I got on, BC, I got on Andrew. We going to San Diego to get,
Here we go.
We going to San Diego. The OB came out. We going to San Diego to go get the Russell Wilson interview. Now, we've been laying low for a minute. Now, we know who we are, what we do. And so, boom, this opportunity come. We look at it like, should we take it? Should we not take it? It was like, yo, we off right now. We in the off season. We developing, we rebooting. but we got to take this opportunity. He don't talk. So it's last minute. We rush to the airport. Andrew sitting there checking up. You know, you got a 45-minute cutoff to get everything checked in. Right. Some airports is an hour.
Yeah.
I'm driving up. I'm doing my thing. They sitting there waiting for me to come check the bag in. And I'm like, Andrew, you couldn't just handle that? And Andrew's so smooth, so calm, cool, and collected. He's like, yeah, B was just waiting. I'm like, motherfucker, get the bag on. They had to escort Andrew, Bianca, and the bag to the airplane because it was like 30 minutes before.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
We handled all this, right?
Yeah, it was like 30, 35 minutes. Let me give a little bit of my side of this
you
story,
can,
too,
but then
though.
Andrew's just looking at me like, this is just B. I know this B.
All right, so first of all, never be in this position. It's always a Mandeville, a Bianca, a Doris, or somebody's ahead of me, right?
Right.
So that's what threw me off first.
Oh, you're in a leadership position now.
But now I'm in this leadership position, so I gotta take the bullets or whatever, right? But like, I will honestly say though, B, when I got through it, I thought about it. It's something I've dealt with when it comes to working with others.
Yeah.
And the expectations I put on them, and I understood right after I thought about it, like how important it was because BC. If we miss this flight, if we don't get this bag on, there is no Russell Wilson interview.
Right.
And that's all B was trying to express. Now, I will say,
but it was how
there
was
two moments
it.
That stood out. When I called B to ask him about the bag, he was like, I literally thought he was just laying down. He was like, oh, Andrew, come on, bro. What is going on? So anyways, that's the first part.
Which is like, why is he talking like that?
I was like, why is he?
Because I was trying to control myself. I was like, I wanted to say, get the bag on the plane.
Get the motherfucker. But no, so then this is where the bark comes in. He comes over. He's barking at the guy. And what happened is between the time he was coming over, I said, all right, let me just do it. But now the guy's explaining every step of how the bag is this and the weight of the bag and trying to figure out the price. He keep coming over and going back. I'm like, yo, we gotta go.
No, that's not your energy. I wanted your
energy. No. That wasn't my energy, but that's what I was telling you was that like I was trying to stay calm with him
because
I knew where that could go. B said, F that. Took it straight to the top of the building. But I will say it worked out because like he said, buddy, pulled us right to the plane. So like it kind of like backfired in a way.
Not really. I think it was how y'all handled it. And this was like an anomaly. It was how you guys handled the situation allowed us to make it. Because he looked at me, he said, because they were nice, meaning you and Bianca,
that's what I'm saying.
I'm gonna do this for them. But you, he said, you get your ass out of here.
Yeah, he was ready. He was done with your ass.
My energy is this. It's like Andrew sitting here listening to cutoff point. Look at the phone.
Yeah.
45 minutes, you're done. At 35, I ain't no more talking, buddy. Ain't no more coming back. Bro, get my bag on a plane, please.
Yeah.
We ain't doing all of that.
Yeah.
So that's why, again, B, you still my dog. Look. Okay, there we go.
My dog.
Just had to show love, but I get where he was coming from after the moment.
That.
But we'll move on, guys. We're going to take it over back to the
NFL.
That's
why you got to be around people that know you. You know what I'm saying? People you can do life with, because some people may not understand that.
I like how you said that. People you could do life with.
That's right. Because after that, like, I went and got a pizza.
Oh,
this is how I apologize. I went and stopped because we was rushing. I know ain't nobody eat. This was really last minute.
Yeah.
So I went and stopped, got a pizza real quick, running through the airport with a whole pie.
He's like, yeah, let me come feed my guy.
Right. But then the worst thing is I go to Bianca. Bianca's like, thank you. And I go to Andrew. Andrew's like, I don't eat cheese. I'm like, damn.
You're like, damn.
And that's a five and a half hour flight.
Yeah. Right.
So Andrew had to sit there and eat damn peanuts.
Damn.
Yeah, trail mix. Essentially, and then McDonald's afterwards.
As soon as
which
we landed, it's 1 in the morning. He's like, well, I need to eat. We got to go to a McDonald's.
Yeah. Y'all ain't want to see me on the plane if I ate a pizza. But
I would have ate that pizza that night.
Guys, the NFL Scouting Combine is over. I don't know if you knew that, but Justin Fields is actually still a member of the Bears. The Falcons are still the overwhelming favorite to land Fields, but now we have an interesting report that says Atlanta is very interested in Kirk Cousins in the free agency. If you are in the Falcons locker room, do you want Fields or Cousins at QB1?
This is an interesting topic. Scouting, you said the scouting combine is over.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there was a lot of talk that Justin Fields could potentially get traded any minute.
Yeah.
People thought it could happen at the NFL scouting combine in Indianapolis. It did not happen, right? Now, you have the new league year about to start, all right? There's tentpole events that happens throughout the year. Super Bowl, then right after the Super Bowl, right, you have the All-Star game down in Mobile, Alabama. Now, stay with me. I'm going to get to my point here. Mobile, Alabama. A lot of these events are gathering spots for the decision makers and where the business gets done. There's a lot of shit happening in Mobile, Alabama. And that's where the focus is. Let's see who's next. But then they're also having these conversations. They start these conversations. Well, what's going to happen with Justin Fields? What's going to happen with Kirk Cousins? Mm-hmm. What, Russell Wilson? You know, well, and then there's other guys, Baker Mayfield. There's Baker Mayfield's name is being thrown out there. He's in the mix.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, there's teams that like him. There's conversation that the Patriots like him. And what happens when the Falcons like him? When that happens, now Tampa, they got to step up. They got to even pay more. That's the best thing that can happen for a player is when all you need is two to drive up the market. You have one other person that likes you, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. Now it's a battle. So, scouting combine, what happens here? A lot of business start getting done. We start these conversations in Mobile. We're leading up to the NFL draft, okay? And so, I'm saying that because we thought Justin Fields would have been traded last week. It didn't happen, or this past weekend. And as I'm sitting here, I'm wondering, like, why? Because there's more things that's starting to come out. Around Baker Mayfield, Patriots like Baker Mayfield, the Atlanta Falcons are interested in Baker Mayfield, and then you got Kirk Cousins, right? So you got Kirk Cousins out there. What is Kirk Cousins going to do? All right? But then you also have Russell Wilson out there.
Yeah.
But then you got other guys being thrown in the mix, Joe Flacco. The Patriots like Joe Flacco. That's who likes – they like him.
Over Baker, you're saying?
No, they like him too. He's on the board. So basically, I'm giving you all these potentials – all these potentials, now put them on the board. And the first one has to fall before the others can go. So I say that because this is a weird board. Who do you like? It's a mixed bag. You got Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, Kirk Cousins, and Baker Mayfield. Rank them. How do you rank it? This is not like where it's like, okay, I got Tom Brady, who's up. And then I got a Joe Flacco, blah, 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 blah. Like, there's tears to it.
Right. Yeah. I would definitely say that, damn, that is a hard rank. Because it's like Justin and the has reason the mobility why
this is important,
I want.
And the reason why this is important, Wu, is because every team goes through this. Every single team has their board. Mm-hmm. So who does the Atlanta Falcons have as number one on their quarterback board and why? Yeah. Patriots. Team quarterback needy situation.
Yeah.
Steelers, and then every situation is also different because one guy might be a free agent, one guy may have to go trade for. Justin Fields may be more expensive than a Russell Wilson because he's older, mm-hmm. right? Or Russell Wilson could potentially have more value because you look at the stats, his stats is better than obviously Justin Fields and Kirk Cousins.
And you got Chip.
But the last 2 years has been not extremely productive.
Do you think having a great running back makes a difference, though?
100%. Meaning like,
okay. No, because I just wanted to ask, like, if I'm – damn, you really got me thinking about this. I think honestly, Baker's the best out of the three. He has that dog in him. He'll run. He has a cannon for an arm. Kirk is a little older. Justin is a little inexperienced. Baker's right in the middle. I think Baker would be my first choice, which I never thought I would make Baker my first choice. Right. But Baker would probably be my first, Justin second, and then Kirk.
That's right.
Damn. Yeah, no. But I didn't know that many people were interested in Baker at this point in his career. Yeah.
You're looking – think about it. If you're the New York – you guys are the Giants. Y'all – that's y'all team. BC.
Yep.
You got to go through a process of putting mm-hmm. your board together. And understanding first, you have to evaluate what you have in the past year. That's the first thing these teams are doing, right? From there, you understand the needs that you have. And then how do you fill those needs in free agency? Okay. And also the draft. All right. So now, BC, you're the general manager of the Giants. Walk us through your process. You got Danny Dimes coming back from an ACL. You just paid him. You got salary cap challenges, right? Because how do you get rid of them? And if you keep them and then you go get another guy, how do you pay both, right? So that's your that's the reality of your situation right now. Mm. So to walk me through the quarterback situation and how you're going to assess this and then how you're going to move forward to get the best quarterback play. And I want to hear, you got Justin.
We got
Baker.
We got some guys
Russ.
Out there. Damn.
Yeah.
It's pretty tough. I think... First of all, we look to see how Danny's doing, how his recovery is going and how he looks, right? Then we have to go out there and make sure that we're doing the other little things, because it doesn't even matter what quarterback we have if we don't shore up the O-line. But if we're just talking just strictly on the quarterback situation right now, I mean, damn, you got Justin sitting over here. Me personally, I'm good on Baker Mayfield, but he might be a better solution than Daniel Dimes. I would try to figure out a way to maybe trade. I don't know who wants him out there, but maybe trade him. If we can, you get something for
Danny Dimes?
Yeah. I mean, is the contract so...
And it's a tough situation for you guys, right? Because of, like, that who you already have, how much you already paid him, and he has an injury. So this is tough.
Yeah.
But let's take it to, let's say, the Atlanta Falcons. You know, like what attracts me to Justin Fields being there is like the youth and them growing together.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm not sure if you have to pay them right away, you know what I mean? But you have to look at that. But having them, and you think about that dynamic between Bijan Robinson, who's coming out saying that he wants to go over 2,000 yards, he wants to be the next to do it, mm-hmm. right? And he's more than capable of doing it. Justin Fields will help him do that. And then Bijan will help Justin actually be a better quarterback, because you're going to have to, you know, focus on the run game, focus on him, put eight in a box. Now it's going to make everything outside that much more open, right? Mm-hmm. And then you got London, the receiver, see what he can develop into. And you still got free agency and you got the draft to go bring in more. Now, I don't know what's going on with Kyle Pitts. Like, we were saying that he could come in and be the next Travis Kelce and Kittle, and he hasn't entered into that conversation. It's been disappointing, mm-hmm. but it ain't all his fault. You know, look at the quarterback play, look at the offensive coordinator, but we need to see more out of him. So that's mm-hmm. intriguing there. But if you're talking about winning right away, leadership, you got to go with a Kurt or a Russell Wilson.
Yeah. They could guide you there. I do have a final question on this before we move forward, guys. We went basically 2 or 3 days last week talking about Justin Fields screaming in his kitchen, you know, basically kind of hinting at this Atlanta trade. Are you pissed if Atlanta don't pick you up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, you're not, listen.
PC said, hell yeah.
Yeah, you say yeah?
Hell yeah. I'm like, damn, y'all ain't come save me. I was thought I was going home. He probably already called everybody, like, yeah, getting the calls, getting the cars shipped.
36 minutes from home.
He in motion. And then, boom, somebody else comes.
And now you're in Tennessee.
Well, it's the same. Well, think about, let's go to a recent situation with a superstar, but on the basketball side, Dame Lillard wanted to really get to Miami. He said, this is the only team I want to go to, mm-hmm. period. Didn't work out. He ended up in Milwaukee. He still was happy, right? And he embraced it.
Happy? Content.
Would you use happy, though? Like, happy is a strong term.
He's content. He's content in Milwaukee.
He's lonely. Happy.
Yeah, he's content. He ain't happy. He'll be happy when he gets to Miami or some other destination.
Okay. He got the high score in 2K. Like, my man is playing 12 hours of 2K and Call
well,
of Duty.
Bored,
okay?
But I'm talking about from a basketball standpoint, there's an opportunity for them to win this year. Right. And he embraced that when he got there. Now he is bored. He said there's not much to do. Okay. I'm saying that because there's a scenario, right? Like, you can say for a lot of people, Atlanta's popping. There's a lot of comparisons to Miami to Atlanta.
Yeah.
just looks a little different, a little bit yeah. more exotic than Miami and then in Atlanta, a little chocolata.
Yeah.
A little cheeky.
Yeah, but the vibes are still, you know what I mean?
Still vibing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, Atlanta still got the energy.
Right. So you have that, but from a ball standpoint, so you if you lose that, but then you end up, well, let's say the Pittsburgh Steelers, that's still a phenomenal situation for Justin.
It really is.
You know? So with there's Mike. Some situations out there where it's like, damn, I ain't get everything I wanted, but I'm still in a better situation than I was last year. I'm somewhere that I'm wanted. Mm-hmm. I don't got to deal with all that crap that I had to deal with in Chicago. But the reality, and I'm going to be clear here too. Some of this is on Justin as well, right? Like, and I say this all the time. I'm always going to take the player side, BC. You know, get a perspective. That's what I'm looking at everything. The ownership do their job. The management do their job with surrounding the players and the coaches with the talent that they need, the resources they need to go win and be productive, right? What about these coaches? Does their ball make sense? Okay. So I'm always going to look at that first before I even hold a player accountable. But with all this being said around Justin Fields, it's like, yeah, bro, like the expectation is high for you. You are that talented. You are him. You're extremely high football IQ, and you have all of the physical abilities to go out there and produce at a high level for a very long time. And so you got to bring it together. You can be in that name, in that same class of Joe Burrow, bringing it, coming in, and then taking his team from worst to first in a division. CJ Stroud, if they're able to do it, you're able to do it. So now we're a couple years into your career, and it's like, let's go, right? So, you know, yes, Justin has contributed to it. Yes, Justin is that talented where he can overcome, you know, some of the coach's mistake or management or lack thereof, mm-hmm. you know, resources. So I want to see that from Justin as he moves forward. There would be no better story than seeing a man like that, you know, start his career off like, and then go somewhere and start thriving. We've seen a lot of amazing clips and some flashes from Justin Fields over the last 2-3 years.
Yeah, agreed, B. And I mean, it's only his fourth year coming in, you know, so it could just be a situational, like he said.
What if this is just all a bluff by the Bears and they end up keeping Justin and trading that pick to somebody else?
For what,
is that possible?
Because
this guy, Caleb, refuses to throw and he's not doing this. Maybe they back up off of him a little bit and they say, we're going to stay with our guy.
Yes, it is possible. That is the business, right? That's why you don't go out and be emotional in the middle of the season and say, everybody's like, what are they going to do with Justin? They're asking all these questions. And then and fans and people get pissed off when the organization says, no, we like him. Or even the Jets say, we like him. We like Zach. Why? Because we got to make sure that value is good. This is a market. This is the stock exchange.
Right.
Literally.
Yep. Right.
You understand? So that's why you always say the best thing that you can say about a player, or you make it look better than what it is, so you can keep that value up, and it plays into the combine weekend or week, and it also plays into the draft, right? And so absolutely, BC. But in this situation, I think the Bears already made up their mind. They're moving on. They're moving on. And it's a win-win. Like, they could win with Justin for sure, but it makes more sense going out there and getting in Caleb Williams. You keep him on – you have him on a rookie deal for the next 3 to 4 years, right? So now you have more resources with a salary cap that is increasing year over year. So you have more money to play with, okay? And you are sitting fourth in the NFL in salary cap. With $76 million, okay, it makes a lot of sense to do it. And you're talking about a guy that we don't know what can happen. Like, there's been a lot of busts, right? There's a lot of guys that don't get it done. A lot of guys that had phenomenal college careers and flamed out in the NFL, or just okay NFL careers, right? But for us to be talking about Caleb Williams in the breadth of he could be the next best thing, you can't pass on that.
I'm going to take that same notion, the next best thing, and go into our next topic. Caitlin Clark is now the all-time leader in college basketball points. And this past I think it was this past weekend, she ended up actually passing Pete Maravich. And let me give you guys a little bit of stats. She currently stands at 3,685 points, and she passed Pete Maravich, who held the record since the 70s of 3,667 points. With this being said, she became the highest scoring college player, men or women's, in NCAA history. She is a lock right now to be the number one pick in the WNBA draft, and she may be the hottest ticket in all of sports. We saw literal lines around the block of Iowa Hawkeyes games. How important is Caitlin Clark to sports entertainment, B?
I'm glad. So the question is, how important is Caitlin Clark to sports and entertainment? I'm glad that you asked the question that way, because you could have easily, Andrew, said women's sports. If I'm Caitlin, what I'm thinking about right now is my impact right there in sports, not in the women's bucket or the men's bucket. She has an opportunity to go down as one of the greatest athletes ever, right? And there comes moments in sports where people get thrust in these conversations. Patrick Mahomes, can he be the next Tom Brady or better than Tom Brady? LeBron James, can he be the next face of the NBA? Look up, 20 years later, 21 years later, he held that down for a very long time, and now he's sitting there as the first NBA player to reach 40,000 points, right? But that debate between LeBron and Patrick Mahomes. So every so often we have these moments in sports where it's like, yo, this person is special. And so when you think about Caitlin Clark, she is special. And that's how we should be talking about her. Not like, oh, yeah, she's going to be drafted number one overall. She's great. She's the women's version of Steph Curry. That. No, I'm looking at what is the next 10, 15 years going to look like, BC? She is special. And I can't wait to go watch her in person. And then when you think about Caitlin too, the other amazing part about this, BC, go back to last year. We're approaching the time where her and Angel Reese was battling it out.
Right.
This turned into a cultural, social phenomenon. This turned into a racial conversation. Like this conversation not only became a national conversation, but a global conversation. And I said this then. I said, this actually, I feel the tension. I understand the suspense and all the drama, but this could potentially be a huge moment in women's sports. There's never been more eyeballs on women's sports than this moment here, outside of some Olympic moments.
Yeah.
Right? Like that, it was that special. But she lost, and everything was about Angel Reese. Look how she bounced back. She bounced back in a major way, bro.
Hell yeah.
This is special. And so, like, even that, seeing how she's been able to conduct herself and, like, separate herself from everybody in women's basketball. So it's like a different conversation. So shout out to Caitlin. He had Travis Scott in the building, BC. That was dope.
Yeah, that was dope.
It's only up from here for her.
Yeah, she's going to the moon with this. I mean, and I'm glad she did it, you know, during right at the beginning of Women's Month. You know what I mean? Women's history. So it was dope. She's going to the moon with this. When she gets to the next level, I think it translates. Her game translates. She's definitely going down as one of the greats. Just where, you know, we'll see exactly where she lands. But I think that what she's doing for women's sports, what she's doing for professional sports, period, is amazing. But even more so for the women's game of basketball and stuff like that, yeah.
Because that's what you want, right? Like, that's what people say all the time. Is like, well, the game, the women's game is not the same as the men's game. Mm-hmm. You know, entertain this and that.
It's more exciting right now, actually.
Really?
Yeah, it's getting more exciting than the men's game right now.
Right. These are some of the people in the games that you're like, I want to get that ticket. That's a hot ticket.
I'm telling you, I'm seeing sales around the corner of these games.
That's
insane. I do want to ask you guys this, though. Like, obviously, there's always that chance. You just mentioned it, that there's players who come into a league and don't succeed like they did in college, right? You also have the sophomore slump, right? And I'm not trying to put Caitlin there, but where do we kind of see her landing with the Candace Parkers, Cheryl Swoops, Sue Birds, Lisa Leslie's, Angel? Well, Angel Reese is on her own trajectory, and Kelly Plums. Right. We saw the Aces win last year. Like, what is our trajectory for her? Like, is she just going to be a great shooter? Do you think she's going to be a dominant team takeover type of player? Anything like that?
Well, you know, that's what I was trying to say earlier, right? If I'm her and I'm looking at, you know, if I'm sitting down, I'm writing out my goals, my long-term goals, right? I'm being a little delusional because I think greatness, you have to be delusional. So I'm being a little bit delusional, and I'm also being real with my, you know, capabilities. And so I'm sitting down as Caitlin Clark, and everything for me is about becoming the best athlete ever. Like, I want to be in that conversation, right? So it's a lot of hard work, and this is not, disrespecting the people that came before. I was watching a Tiger Woods clip from when he was like 20 years of age, and he was about to go into a big tournament, and a reporter was offended that he said, yeah, I think I can win this one. He's like, why can you say that? And then he got in this whole back and forth, and then Tiger was like, yeah, like my dad said, like second, there's nothing good about second, and third is shitty, something like that, in Tiger's words. And the reporter said, well, on the tour, second and third is really well. He said, no, it ain't, right? And so I was just watching that clip, but Tiger knew who he was and his capabilities, right? So I'm not shitting on anybody that came before, but there's some people that comes along where it's like they think differently or they're striving for something bigger. So Caitlin, BC, she should be thinking about having that Tom Brady moment. When Tom Brady's sitting there working out with Julian Edelman, and Julian Edelman looking at all the stuff on his wall, his memorabilia in his home gym, and he sees, Joe Montana, someone that Tom Brady loves and looks up to, and he says, oh, you're going to catch Joe Montana. That's what Julian Edelman said to Tom Brady. Tom Brady pauses. He stops for 30 seconds. Julian said it's 30, 35 seconds of complete awkwardness and silence. And he looks at him with a straight face and says, I'm going after Jordan. And he caught Jordan.
Yeah.
He passed him. He said, I'm going after Jordan. So when you ask me the question, BC, that's what Caitlin should be doing.
Yeah. I agree.
I see that. Okay, so let me ask you this. Did you know tennis has been around since the 12th century? Yo, can I just get this question?
BC.
Never let y'all know where I'm going, all right?
Let me answer this. No, I have not. I did not know that.
BC, did you know that?
Nah.
Nah? Okay, the reason why I bring this up is because tennis has been around a long damn time.
Yep.
When I think about tennis today, who's the first name that comes to mind?
Serena Williams.
You go. Does Caitlin have the ability to take a sport to where I get it? NBA has been around a long time. But is there a chance that Caitlin may be that one name that can change this sport to where it's like the male game is on here, the women's game is on here, but I'm more interested in this game over here because I've seen how the game has changed. Let's say this is 5 to 10 years from now. Dunking may be a thing at this point. We've seen it this last year, I think, with Aja Wilson. So, like, at the end of the day, is this, you know, you're always looking for that one person, and you never know who it is, but you're always looking for that one person to change everything about what's going on. You could call Drake that in music. You could call Serena that in tennis. You could call Jordan that in basketball. Is Caitlin that in WNBA?
I'm going to pump the brakes on that right now because she ain't there yet. And I just want to be real careful about, like, crowning her all these things without it being actually done. A lot can happen between now and the end of her basketball career. You know what I mean? So she does have the potential to do a lot of great things and be mentioned with the greats. Take the game elsewhere, I don't know. You know, Let's see where she does. I just want to temper the expectations, or, you know, putting mm-hmm. her into this situation where it's like now she has to live up to
why
the greatest of all time.
Why?
I mean, well, no, pause. She can have those expectations. I'm just talking about as a spectator or as a fan. I'm not trying to put her on that pedestal just yet. Right now on the collegiate level, yes, she's like probably the greatest NBA collegiate player, right? She scored the most mm-hmm. points, all that stuff. Cool. When we talking about NBA, you know how we talk about in the NBA and we're like, yeah, now you get up here with the big boys. All right, when she got to get to the WNBA and play with the grown women. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. let's see how it turns out when she gets out there playing with the grown women. Everybody knows her game translates. She's going to do well. I'm not saying she's going to get over there and be a bust. But let's just see how it goes and what she actually puts down, because she's the way her trajectory right now is insane. She's going to the moon. But I just don't want to say that she's going to be better than some of these other great legendary basketball players too that we've seen that may not get their props. And some of them may feel slighted in a way. Is she getting a little bit more attention? This, that. You know, be ready for those conversations, you know. So,
well, BC, if she was your niece, what would be your opinion? She going to the top.
I mean, of course. I mean, I'm if she's mine, I'm going to be like, yeah, she's going to the top. But she is going to the top. I just don't know yet. We don't know how great, you know what I mean, this goes. When she gets to the major level and she's in the big leagues with the grown women, we'll see.
Gotcha. Mm.
So the question's it's an interesting question. You talked about tennis being around since the 12th century.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, we think about tennis today. Who's the first person that we think about? For me, it's Serena Williams. And I think for a lot of people, we think about that. Obviously, she's been retired for a year. But that's who I think about. And then off of that, you say, can she, Caitlin Clark, do what Serena did for women in tennis or just the sport of tennis? And the answer is yes, but it doesn't mean that it was all her, right? Because she's standing on the backs of Sue Bird, Tamika Catchings, Sheryl Swoopes, Lisa Leslie, Diana Taurasi, Maya Moore, you know, Candace Parker, and there's so many others, like so many others, right? So hopefully she brings others along this journey, but she's standing on the backs of some true legends, some people that, you know, still to this day, you know, our women in the WNBA, they can't stop playing basketball. When the season's over, they got to go overseas. Or some mm-hmm. of them have other jobs, right? Yeah. This reminds me of the NFL back in the 70s.
Scabs and all that, right?
That's right. Like I'm balling on Sundays, and then when the season's over, I'm doing construction during the weekday,
yeah.
right? Building homes, that type of stuff. So, BC, she has the potential to go down as one of the greatest athletes to live, and that should be her goals. That should be the direction she's heading, that should be in the back of her mind. And she has an amazing opportunity to bring a lot of attention to the WNBA, mm-hmm. to women's basketball. But let's not forget about the Diana Taurasis, the Catchings, the Swoops of the world, the Sue Birds of the world, the Maya Moores of the world.
Right.
You know, and there's some legendary coaches. There's some legendary NBA players too that supported. Kobe Bryant was one of the first of the that first was showing up,
championing the women's league. Yeah, definitely.
That's right.
Out there, bringing attention and putting the spotlight on it.
Absolutely.
So I think she's definitely. I think for the marketing and the financial part of the game, she's gonna definitely help with that. Like she's already in the State Farm commercials and all that. So like, I think for that, for the WNBA game. Yeah, because they need to be making more money as well so that they cannot be having to go do construction in the off season. You know what I mean?
I feel you.
Yeah.
So, guys, we're going to go from one great woman to another great woman. right? In
oh,
BC.
Oh, look at this. It's Women's History Month, and he won. It looks so nice.
You know, I love my women. Shout out to my mom, my two sisters, and every woman in my family and all those around. Love y'all. So, BC, I'm going to ask you for forgiveness before we start this next one, because I already told you how I feel about this. But there was some good news coming out that Rihanna recently was paid to sing at an event thrown by the richest man in Asia, who I believe, and forgive me if I'm saying his name wrong, Anant Ambani.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Hey, and she was reportedly paid close to $10 million for just one night of performing. The question really comes down to how much would you pay to actually have Rihanna sing for you? But if I would like to get into if any of you have seen it, seen any of the comments, and want to maybe get back around to the payment to Rihanna at the end there. What do you guys think?
Listen, I love Rihanna. I'm a fan. I love what her and, you know, her guy, what they're building.
Rocky,
ASAP,
right?
ASAP Rocky. That seems cool. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm. And look, I'm always trying to put people.
You're so calm right now. It's throwing me off.
Because it's like, I'm trying to be nice, but look, I'm glad that she's back. Right? And it's been a long time. But you can tell, like, she still got to, you know, get back into the rhythm and the groove of performing a whole set. And it wasn't like, I seen Nicki Minaj perform, and that was bad. It was the Essence Festival, like, 2-3 years ago. It just, I don't know what was going on there. I mean, Rihanna just had her second baby. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, she was singing, but, you know, I'm trying to be nice here.
So let me help you out.
And don't clip this, Omari. Like, I don't need no drama. Don't clip me. No. We can put it on the airways for
Navy.
Sound.
No drama with the Navy.
Yeah, but it was like, yeah.
So this is what you're saying, essentially. I'll take the bullet, guys. Essentially, a lot of people are bashing Rihanna because they think that the performance, and this isn't my word, but I've seen words such as lazy. I've seen just like a lot of negative comments, essentially. And I spoke about this when Usher did the Super Bowl. And that's why I asked BC for forgiveness, because I love Rihanna just like everybody else. But there's a certain expectation that you're going to put on that wide receiver on Sunday, that construction worker on Monday, that I'm going to hold Rihanna to a certain
standard,
man. Like, and I want to see her shine. So seeing this coupled with her performance at the Super Bowl, it kind of feels like what you said, she needs to get back, and it could just be rust. But it's like when a player plays too long.
I ain't doing
it's like
that.
If you're not going to come out and do it the
that.
Right way.
Nah, we ain't doing that, man. We ain't about to.
So what you saying? What you saying, BC?
See,
what
BC,
you saying?
I'm about to be ripping up Rihanna. I ain't doing that, man.
It's not ripping.
Rihanna, we love you, man. Listen, she had two kids. Like, she's chilling. She's doing her thing. Yeah, she's in love. Her and ASAP is
so Brandon they're don't
busy.
Play good on Sunday, and I said he just had two kids. Is that great?
Listen, Brandon is playing for wins and losses. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you out there winning for playing for a championship. She's performing her hit songs that, like, she's gonna, like, man, this dude wanted to pay $9 million for her to perform. Yeah, she's gonna go out there and perform. She just went out there and repurposed her whole Super Bowl concert, probably, and just it was like, yeah, I'm gonna scrape up another $9 million just to go do this. What you want? Work? All right, cool. I got you. You know what I mean? Like,
with my set list at.
And she did it over there for India. You think she was gonna go hard for.
But you know the clip
but why
come
not?
Out.
It's your name.
No, it's not that. No, I think it's a process. Like, it's just a process. Like, there's a lot that goes into performing live. You know, there's just a high expectation that we have a high expectation around Rihanna. And so, like, when I see, you know, like, where Serena Williams, what she had to do to get back with, because this is a different conversation. And We may not have all the credentials to have this conversation about our women, right? But Serena Williams, Naomi Osaka, I even seen Sierra. You know, Sierra had a few babies and had some time off. And what they got to do to get back to that level is extremely – it's hard.
It's difficult.
So shout out to Rihanna.
Shout out to Rihanna and the Navy.
And the Navy. Shout out to them. It was good to see her back on stage, but we know that there's phases to it. So basically what we want to say from this platform is that we're excited to be on the journey.
Yeah, with the exactly. Navy. With the Here Navy, you go. We're excited. Listen, we can't wait to see more. Just glad that she's back being active, doing some performances, you know, touching her fans, getting that paper. Listen. Too hard.
Sorry, guys. They're
hard.
Not going to keep it real on our show, but it's all hard. Good, man. We'll move on.
They too hard on Rihanna. You got it.
I guess I'm the only one that's just going to be a fan, a real fan.
She's not a dude, man. She's a woman, man. Let her do her thing.
She's a person first.
Listen, she's a person first, but she's a woman. So we're going to just do that, man. We're not going to bash the lady for doing her thing, man.
It's not bad.
Get your money.
Okay.
Get your money.
Moving on. Not going to bash her. But anyways, we're going to go ahead and move on, guys. I appreciate everyone who listens to me. But Brandon, you sat down recently with Russell Wilson, to be exact, in an exclusive interview for our I Am Athlete YouTube page. And Russ talked a lot about actually including what still motivates him to play ball. So let's take a listen.
Would you be thinking like this if you didn't have these challenges? Like you have a Hall of, you're a Hall of Famer, mm-hmm. right? Let's be clear. You know, you have a career that, you know, 98% of the quarterbacks that came into the NFL, which is only a few, would dream of. For you, I know, like, your expectation is different than most.
I think that, you know, in every journey, everybody's journey is a little bit different. I've been fortunate, you know, along the journey so far. And first 10 years, having some great years. And then, you know, had one tough year. It's like, didn't go my way. And just, you know, like I said, I was battling through injuries. But then this year, I felt like, okay. Like I'm getting back on it right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm ready. And so for me, along the journey, you know that it's like my goal is still the same goal. Yeah. I wrote it out a long time ago. I want to win 3 to 4 Super Bowls. I still got that in front of me. And so holding that chill of the trophy again is what's on my mind.
Why do you keep saying the chill of the trophy? I've been 13 years in the NFL. I ain't been to play. What the heck is the chill of it? Maybe
it's a
chill.
You got a chill of the trophy, bro. You thought that
metal chill of a trophy.
It's got a certain chill to it, man. I think the thrill of it, the chill of it, the actual holding that trophy is a feeling.
Man, shout out to Russ, bro. Like, thank you for letting us stay in the compound, the estate. But guys, if you want to catch more with Brandon and Russ's sit down, you can check that out on the I Am Athlete YouTube page. Brandon, did you want to say anything about your interview with Russ?
No, it was just a great experience, man. It's just cool to be in this space where dudes is coming to us first, athletes is coming Absolutely. To us first, right? So we just got to continue to build on it. It's a lot of work. It's going to be a lot of pushback, but it was a true honor. And it's a true honor to be in this position, so I don't take mm-hmm. it for granted.
Same here, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I never thought I would be around people of greatness like this, right. at this capacity so much. And it makes me learn a lot as a person, as a businessman, and just every day, you know.
So let me ask you this question, because we were around Russ for about 2 days, felt mm-hmm. like. What was the number one thing that you learned from that experience or from him?
From him, I would say probably, if I'm sticking just with him, he really liked that. Like, I think what you see out there is sometimes almost cultivated because he has to do certain things. But when we had him, even when he was being recorded, there was times where I was like, yo, he just like the homies, mm-hmm. you know? So that was the first thing that stood out to me. But I would say definitely the shining moment is his commitment to being a nice person. Like, I admire that.
Yeah.
And I think we need more of that because as a society, as a community, black community, like, we tear each other down so much that we never even think to lift each other up,
right.
which is sad. Right. So, you know, I definitely would say that those are the two things that stood out. And then I have to throw this in. I told Rihanna to her face, yes, guys, I met Rihanna. I mean, sorry, not Rihanna, Sierra.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
Rihanna's still on the mind. Sierra. There was a moment where you asked them about their relationship. And the entire time, Sierra is a businesswoman, by the way. She was in her phone, looking up, taking notes, making sure. But there was a moment where he spoke about her. I think her chin almost hit the roof.
Really?
She was so proud of him. He was so proud of her. And then, again, just that black love and just seeing them together is just, dope. You know.
Right.
It's bigger
right.
than the money, right. the everything. You know what I mean?
There you go. Before we move on, I do want to take a moment here, which I never do, if I'm being honest. When it comes to death, death is tough and it hits us differently. I don't know if I'm numb to it or not, but I don't really get into the public, the public sympathy, and I don't even know what I want to say there, but it's more so like I just don't like publicly. I'm not going to show how much I appreciate you, right? Because I'm doing it privately. You understand? Like, if we can't do it privately, it doesn't matter. Even in my relationship, you know, I'm not going to go out there and like, oh, just because it's Valentine's Day, let me show. I'm not doing that. This is about us, right? And I'm saying that because we lost a legend, and I never really lean into, you know, celebrity or public figures, you know, winning or losing, or even when it comes to this situation, death, right? Because I feel like it's like a trendy thing and everybody do it. But we lost a true legend in sports. We lost a true legend in media, and that's the Mort. That's Mort.
Chris Mortensen.
Right? And I have to call him a true legend, right? And listen, it's interesting because, you know, players' relationships with, you know, journalists, you know, it can be a lot of tension. It can be volatile, right? And even the position that we're in now as I Am Athlete is like there's a real fight happening between independent artists and content creators or platforms and, you know, the linear networks and the system. But Chris Mortensen was one of those that did it right, you know, and
is it possible to count on me?
Highly respected.
Like my customers count on me.
He was just one of those guys, man, that just had amazing relationships. He was an amazing person, and he did some amazing work during his 30, 40 years in the business or whatever it was at ESPN. But I just wanted to take a moment to say rest easy, Mort. You did it at a high level, but you did it right. You still held people accountable. You still got the story. You got the scoop. And you did it in a way where you just – you had people respect you. So rest easy. This battle's been going on for a minute now, going back to like 2016 is when we all heard. So, you know, it's been going on for a minute. So we lost.
That's a minute.
Yeah, it's a minute.
I didn't know it was that long.
Yeah, he's been battling for a minute. So
appreciate that, well, that's B. That's a beast, I mean, Chris Mort. You know, RIP to Mort.
That's right. That's right.
I always say this, and I just want to throw this last bit at the end. The worst part I found out as being an adult is you lose that sense as a child that nothing wrong can happen.
Right.
And it sucks when you lose people you love.
That's right.
You know, so I always said that's the cruelest joke of being an adult is having to lose those around you.
That's right.
You know.
That's right. And you know, for those out there listening that may be dealing with, that may be grieving and dealing with, you know, death, you know, one day at a time. I also lost a homie last week, so you know, rest easy to Kenzie. I never do this. I guess when you get older too, you get emotional. But
yeah,
you know, this was a dude. Y'all met him before. He came in here a few times. His name is Kenzie. He actually was my neighbor when I got drafted to the Denver Broncos.
Oh wow!
And so, you know, we lost him. He was in Vancouver working, and you know, he just didn't wake up. So, love you, brother.
Wow.
We'll miss you. So.
Wow. Okay.
For sure.
That's
sorry
tough.
To get so low.
No.
We can transition now.
It was just because he said last
sometimes
week.
You
got to like,
pay your respects. You think I mean, about, there's nothing wrong right. with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's nothing
sometimes
wrong
you
got
to pay your respects. But I feel you, though, with the, you know, the public outcry and certain things, and everyone's kind of, you know, takes it public when, you know, these certain things is just handled, you know, behind closed doors
right.
and stuff like that. So. But you know, every once in a while, we take a moment.
I think it's healthy for us to do that.
Yeah, yeah,
right, right.
You know, we can't always be tough as men. So, well, I mean, I will say this: this one guy, he is pretty tough, though. We have Jerry Jones, and he's giving us a contract update on Dak.
Someone, Jerry Jones, he got a contract sent to him. But he is the father. That I thought you was gonna go there.
Yeah, I thought you was gonna go there. With
oh
it.
Yeah, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna talk about that. That
yeah, hell yeah. Let's not gloss over that. Like, Jerry,
you are the father.
Yeah, Jerry out here being messy too. Why we ain't dragging his chin mud.
Yeah. So what happened?
Give us an update. I didn't even know about this.
Give us the messy update, BC. What is it? He was ordered to. Like,
take a paternity test. Apparently, there's a woman, I believe she's around 27 years old, that claims that he's her father. 20? So he is.
Oh, she's saying that Jerry's her father.
She's saying that Jerry's her father.
Jerry's been fighting it for a few years.
So he's been ordered to take a paternity test in that situation. So, yeah, Jerry been running around. He out here split splatting and then trying not to. He don't want to spread that.
Listen,
he don't want to spread. He don't want to spread that wealth.
Listen, there's a lot of trauma. There's a lot of trauma, and there's a lot that comes with, you know, our upbringing and parents being there and not being there. So I don't want to take it lightly,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to keep it real. I want to see a clip, Omari and Shelly, right? Like, what is it? Jerry Springer?
No, Maury. Yeah, exactly. Maury, or however you say it.
Let's put something together where you have Jerry Jones. Jerry. You are the father.
Yeah. Hey, Omari and Shelly, make sure he's running to the back with his face on the person.
You are the father.
Yeah, the girl.
Oh, right. My God, that'd be hilarious.
Like, oh, man, this wasn't me.
But yeah, speaking on Jerry, so he's giving us some. He's going to give us a paternity update, but we're talking about Dak's contract first. We need an update on Dak first, not the baby mom. But someone asked Jerry if he needed to get a contract extension with his star QB, and this was his answer.
We don't need to, but we can if everybody wants to solve it. You can. And so... the how is you get in and get on the same page and see if you can come to an agreement. If you can't, what we have in place works. And so obviously, if you do it one way, then that gives you, you'll be working through some of the other areas on the team in a different way. But you can't really plan on that until you see where you are there. That's what we're doing.
Is there fear that this could be his last year? Do you have that fear at all? That
I don't fear. No, I don't fear that. No.
Mm. Man, I got to say, every time I see Jerry, he look like he's somewhere luxurious. Right. Sorry.
You know where he was at? So you guys could see that we were watching that video in the studio. So he has this legendary, and this is where we talk about the baby may have been conceived there.
Like, oh my God.
That's his RV. Like, it's a legendary bus, and it goes to all temple events, whether it's the Super Bowl, and obviously they were just in Indy. Yeah, that was the RV. It's like white, and they got the star on the side. So if you go to the Super Bowl, Pro Bowls, all of that, owners' meetings, that bus is always there.
Okay.
So that's what he was on.
That's where the magic happened.
Yeah, it looks really nice.
Yo, because the reason why I said it, because a couple years ago, there was like some of the stuff started getting leaked about what was going on the bus, right? So why Michael Irvin and them boys had the Cowboys the house, Jerry and management had the bus, right? So,
hey, yo,
Jerry
shit,
a wild boy. That's all I'm
getting
saying.
Leaked on the bus. Hey,
yeah.
Relax.
But this was really what I wanted to ask you, though, B. It was like, if you're Dak, how should you feel about the comments that Jerry's making on his conception van?
It doesn't bother you. He knows they have an amazing relationship. He knows Jerry Jones, right? And he knows him in a way that we don't. He's already been through this a few times with Jerry, right?
8 years.
Yeah, so the first contract, it took some time, and they were trying to figure it out, right? And Jerry was the same person. So he knows Jerry and where he stands. It just shows us that, again, that Dak has the leverage. What you heard from Jerry was, well, listen, basically what Jerry said is, if we can get this done, it's going to allow us to do more things for the team. But if we don't, we can still win. We can still get it done. But the reality is Jerry Jones is about to turn 120 years of age. I keep saying that.
123.
He wants to win now. He came out and said it. He said, now I'm going all out. I'm going all in. And he's and in that interview, he just said, this is the first domino that has to fall. And then everything else, you know, falls in line. Mm-hmm. So he has to get this done if he truly is all in, right? Mm-hmm. Because you don't want to go, you know, in a situation Dak's hitting the, you know, he's hitting the cap, you know, $60 million against the cap. Like, you don't want that. You want to be able to, like, let me really go wheel and deal. Let me go build up those other areas. So Dak has the leverage, and he's going to play into it. But if Dak wants to win, Jerry wants to win, they'll figure this out. Oh, look at BC.
Before we get BC's comments, I just want to get one more thing
from you. I can't wait.
I mean, I'm going to let him go.
I can't wait until the next season and the Cowboys is just running through everybody and beat. I want to see BC's face then.
Yeah.
But before BC goes, let me ask you this. If you're the organization, right, does it hurt or help you going into this next season without giving Dak a new deal?
Man, they're in a tough position. Dak has all the leverage. But going into next season, not getting it done, getting Dak Prescott's deal done, it hurts you. It hurts you because, you know, Dak is up against the cap almost $60 million. I think it's $59 million. Right, so just imagine what you can do if you can restructure that deal.
Yeah.
So it hurts you in that sense. You know, if you want to look at the other side, like how can it help? Well, if you're really not sure on Dak Prescott, if you don't think he's really the guy, then you just go and you just play it out, right? And now you're not committed to him long term. But now you're not in the best position to win, and you're really in a strong position right now. You're absolutely in a strong position. I'm not going to bore us with the commentary that I've been putting out the last couple of weeks about, you know, the Dallas Cowboys being in the best position than anybody else in that division, mm-hmm. and probably right beneath the 49ers when you look at just the NFC, the landscape of the NFC. But damn, you have all the right pieces in place coming back, and then if you can have more resources –
they're not gonna have those resources.
Sign, keep people. Oh my goodness.
Well, listen.
And I hear you over there, BC. I hear you.
Talking about the
Cowboys? Yeah.
BC, let's get your input on this.
Yeah, we talk about the Cowboys. I can't wait to
talk about Jerry and the Cowboys.
The Arlington Cowgirls.
I can't believe it. Man, these guys are finished. Nah.
So what's your thoughts on the Dak situation, though, man? You think Jerry should stick it out with him?
I ain't got much thoughts on Dak or Jerry Jones, man, but you know what I mean. Since we talk about it. No, I mean, listen, Jerry, I think they should just do everything this last year. If I'm the owner, if I'm Jerry Jones, everybody is on notice. McCarthy, Dak, if you not signed for long term, you on notice, bro.
Waterboy.
That Waterboy, listen, your contract up, all right, cool, you on notice. We're going to see after this season, Dak, where are you going to take us? He has, listen, all fair. Like, yeah, Dak, super talented. They have the team. They really should be doing it. This is why I'm going that hard. Like, they really should be doing it or already have been there. Like, B was talking like this previous season. Like, yo, I'm telling you, everything, who on paper, the Cowboys. And look, they stunk it up every season. Every season is
wild
the same
card
thing.
Losers.
I don't even know how you keep – he's going to just keep throwing money at bad money? Is that what we're going to do? You know, just keep
until
throwing –
until they get a chip.
That could be never.
And that's our
that
point.
That could be never. You know what I mean? That could be – Jerry might not even be here.
Correct.
You know what
I
mean?
Years so, after Jerry's gone, unfortunately.
I mean, you tinker it. I don't know what he means. He's going to go all out, what that means, who else he's going to bring in. But I know he's going to try to stack it up. But that means Dak's going to have to step back. If Dak really wants to win, he's going to have to step back a little bit, take a little less. He's going to have to work it out so that they can go do and get these other pieces that they believe that they need to take them over the top. Because he alone, if it was him alone that could do this, I'd be like, nah, give me all my money. Give me all of my money. You know what I mean? But no, you need the help. You need the other pieces. You obviously couldn't do it. Everybody's on notice. Take this little bread. Matter of fact, we're not even going to give you an extension. Let's just wait till next season. and you show and prove, the money's there on the table. But if we back here in the same situation.
You prove it kind of guy.
Yeah. If we back here in the same situation and I'm feeling the same way next January, like, no, man.
So, BC, I'm going to make a request real quick. Can you throw up the breaking news? We got some breaking news. Remember my last breaking news kind of flopped.
Is this real breaking news?
My last breaking news flopped like hell.
Right.
All right. Be careful. So, let me try. I think this is big news, guys. It is now official that Jason Kelce is retiring. And the Eagles' future Hall of Fame center approached the podium today to make the announcement, and this is what happened.
BC.
Thanks for coming, guys. We'll see how long this lasts. Not a good start. There we go.
Yo, low key, funny as hell. Not a good start.
Right, it's crazy. Well, shout out to Jason Kelce on his retirement. We saw this coming, obviously, right after the game. There was a lot of reports. There was a lot of talk about him already telling teams that he was going to retire, but then they start slowing things down, and even the team said there's no rush on this decision, right? So there was a lot of people with their hopes up high, but we saw this coming. But Jason Kelce, it's phenomenal career.
Absolutely.
Legendary career.
Right.
On the field, but also, you know, when I say off the field, I'm saying the work that he's done in the community and how he's impacted the entire NFL landscape. There comes moments in, you know, the locker room where there's that one guy that's just so solid, like going down, like legendary when it comes to being a man and a true pro. If there was a Hall of Fame, if there was a Hall of Fame for leadership and just being a great person, Jason Kelce would be first ballot, first ballot. And then you look at what he's been able to accomplish over the last couple of years as an offensive lineman in marketing, in media. This is unheard of,
right?
And so he's also opened the door for big guys to create brands for themselves. So all the guys out there, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, this is how you do it as a pro, you know, as a competitor, but also as a business. Jason Kelce has opened up doors. And I say that because most of the guys, the money goes to the quarterbacks and then it goes to skill guys, some receivers and some DBs and everybody else get a little bit here and there. But this dude from, you know, the Christmas album, the Christmas carols, like that was legendary. The documentary, the podcast now I'm popping.
The relationship.
And now it's going to be cool to see what he does, you know, when it comes to media. I mean, I just hope he just stay non-traditional. Like, I don't know if I want to see Kelce, you know, on a normal Sunday show, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I want to see what the Kelce brother bring to life.
Me too.
Right? They're just so cool. I don't want to see this coolness go into some
stuffiness. Yeah.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
B, can I give you a moment?
Please.
Did you have a chance to retire on a podium?
No.
Cut to B's camera. Here's your chance.
He said, here's your chance. Get up.
13 years.
Yeah.
17 quarterbacks.
You know what? Maybe this is what we'll do. Maybe in like 3-4 years when there's a smooth exit in business, then I'll retire altogether. So we'll have retire as a football player and a businessman at the same time.
Oh, okay.
That'd be dope.
Hey, don't say I ain't never give you your moment, bro.
That'd be dope.
Thank you.
Nah, man. Kelce was cool. That was cool. I was just laughing because he was he knew what he was going up there to do, and then he's just like,
I love how he finished it.
Yeah, he's like,
not a good start.
Yeah, not a good start. He's like, I'm like, yo, you knew you was coming up here to do this, man. You still got up there and just couldn't hold it. But that happens a lot with the athletes. Like, you know, no matter how much you try to wrap your mind, I guess, around what you're actually saying when you get in front of those cameras to retire, yeah, I guess sometimes that's just it's going to take you over. The emotion takes you over.
Mm-hmm. But it's cool. And I would also just like to get one more word from you, B, on this. This is almost, and this is just a fan. Remember, I didn't play any Pop Warner like you guys or nothing like that. Wow. You know what I mean? But I'm just going to ask you, bro, like, does it feel like when you retire as a player, like you made it to the biggest level, does it feel like you've given up part of your childhood? Because you guys start so young.
Well, I mean, it's your identity. It's part of your identity. And that's why a lot of guys struggle. A lot of our professional athletes, even college athletes. And hell, some of y'all out there may be listening that played in high school. You guys know how hard it was, too. Because you started when you were 5, 6, 7 mm-hmm. years of age. And you play all these years. And then when it's taken away from you or if it's gone, it's like a piece of your identity. So that's why we talk about, you know, are pushing players, you know, to understand who they are outside of the sport, right? Because a lot of guys struggle when that game is taken away from them because you're taking a piece of your identity. Mm. But the game is what you do, is not who you are, right? Right. And so it's a even when you understand it, BC, it's still a transition and it's still a struggle. Right, when you know, like, yes, you heard Shaq talking to him on his podcast. Yeah. Like, bro, go lean into your family. Go, you know, I was sitting in a 100,000 square foot crib by myself. I lost everything, right? Mm-hmm. So when you understand it, it's still tough because this is who you've been and what you've done since you were a baby.
Right.
Like, people ask me all the time. Go ahead, BC.
No. I was just saying, agreeing with you. Like, it's all you know.
That's right. Like, even when... you know, I was in college. People asked me, yo, B, what's your major? Football, bitch.
I'm majoring in football.
Hey, catching before I left, Darnell Harrison, a.k.a. Showtime, my mentor, trainer, all of that growing up. My senior year, we on the track. We used to work out. I used to have some legendary workouts, bro. Like, man, I think about the work that went in, dog. Like, right after school, I would go run 2 miles. So sixth period, last period was weight. So I would lift, do all my heavy shit then.
You said period?
Sixth period. That's what we call
it. Oh, okay.
Sixth period, yeah.
It really was school for football.
Bro, like, sixth period was weights.
Yeah.
In my junior, senior year, right? And so, boom, we did that. And then right after this, let's say this is not football season. So right after that, boom, I would go run 2 miles on the track. Then after that, I would go to practice, whether it was track practice or basketball practice. And then after that, I would go up to Gold's Gym with Darnell, and we would do all of our secondary muscles. So that's where I would do core and some more hamstring or different things, or even play, you know, racquetball for agility. We'll be in there for an hour straight. Just go. No rules, no bouncing. Hit the ball. Go. Right? So I'm thinking about that because, you know, I was about to tell this story about Darnell, and I just thought about all the work that we put in together. But one day we're on the track, and I just completed, you know, my little 2 miles, and we're just walking. And he was like, where are you going to school for? What's your major? And I was like, yeah, you know, when I was in elementary, I took, you know, I was in SECME class, you know, where it's like engineering, you learn some things. I was like, ever since then, I was like, that's what I want to do, right? And so he gets quiet for about 10 seconds. And then he looks at me, he says, boy, your major, football.
That's who told you the story?
Yeah, he said, boy, your major, football. But the way he said that, but then he told me that's what his coach told him when he was coming out.
Yeah.
Right? It was like, you're major football. And we had the understanding, like, look, bro, you got this amazing opportunity. Take advantage of it. Go all out. Go, you know, go handle your business. But you know who you are outside the game. And so, you know, I was able to have that thought process of what I was trying to accomplish, what I was going to school for, and then still have, you know, a plan or start developing a plan, you know, post-career. Right. But there was never a thought in my mind that I wasn't going to make it to the NFL. I never thought about it. Like, shit got hard. Just like now in business, like, you know, y'all see me at some of my lowest moments or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so you have those moments, but there's not a thought in my mind that I won't make it. And it's, you know, it was the same in sports. Like, oh, there was never a thought like I wouldn't make it to the NFL ever. Ever.
I get that. Pause ahead of time. Okay. But
make sure you pause.
when you said all those workouts, the first thing that came to my mind was, how many showers are y'all taking, bro? Oh, and the reason why, I'm going to give you the reason why. The other day, I was hanging out with some of my nephew's friends, young guys, playing sports. And the whole time, bro, I'm like, yo, these dudes rank.
They stink.
And it was so bad. So it's like, in my opinion, bro, I was just like.
No, you had to learn that.
If you're doing 8 workouts a day, like, I bet by the time you hit that bench, boy, you're, it's pretty rank.
You'll be surprised, man. Like, that's something my dad taught me when I was younger. It was like, as soon as your ass come in the house, the first thing you do is take a shower.
Right.
Mm. Don't sit on your bed. You'd be surprised how many nasty people there
that's
is out there.
Saying, like that, with your bro. Outside clothes on. You right. You don't wash that off. You just come, like,
yo,
stinking.
You know what's a big mm-hmm. pet peeve of my girl? No luggage on the bed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's a big pet peeve, and it's something I guess I never thought about. I just always reeled it in, open it up on the floor. But I think one time she saw me like do it just because it was like something I needed to do, move right. it out the way, and she was like, never.
Never.
And that that's became right. a big pet peeve for me.
You'll be surprised by what you brought up. Like my nieces and nephews, or my nephews, I ain't gonna put my niece in that category.
yeah, don't do that.
She do a good job. But like I'm like, yo, bro, like what are y'all doing laying around y'all rooms?
Yeah, stink like this. Like go take it. You was at practice?
Yeah.
You just came from practice? Get your ass in the shower.
Just like that. Bro, that's the first thing. That's the anywhere. First thing. That's the first thing you do. That's what my dad taught me. Is like as soon as you come in the crib, go right into the shower.
Yeah.
Got to, bro.
Sweating all day, hours, workouts, and then you just wanna sit down and play video games or just sit down in your own funk. Like
You know what the worst statement that black people be telling you? Yo, you smell like the sun.
You smell like the sun.
Or outside. Yeah, yeah, you smell like outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But guys, all right, we're going to talk a little bit of Tom Brady. Because actually, BC, you brought this up today in our morning meetings, man. Like,
yeah,
this weekend, Tom actually impressed himself from 20 years ago, 20 plus years ago. In the NFL Scouting Combine, Brady was known for having one of the worst 40 times in history for a QB. So Brady ran the 40 at 46 to see if he was faster than his time 24 years ago, so a quarter century. And yes, the GOAT beat his old time of 5:18. What do you think about this, B?
I'm not surprised by this. You know, Brady was truly one of those late developers. He'd get drafted. Yeah. Late, almost Mr. Irrelevant. He was an afterthought. It wasn't until Bledsoe went down where he got his opportunity, and he didn't run legendary story. He walks in the huddle as soon as he gets the ball, and you know he just takes control right away. He says something mm-hmm. like, "Hey guys, this is my huddle, right? Like here we go, pay attention." And from that moment, you know he's just been. You know, outperforming the field. So he's a late bloomer. He takes care of himself. He's in better shape now than he was then. All you gotta do is look at the pictures. Look at the side by side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So BC, I'm not surprised by this at all.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I was like, what? I'm like, oh, you running faster now? I think it's amazing. I think it's great. It's encouraging for us 40 plus year olds, you know what I mean? We still mm-hmm. still out here active.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I think that was great. I'm like, damn.
You know what came up for me, too? You know, because they said Brady's, what, 46?
Yeah. 46.
And I was like, yo, Brady's 46. It felt like yesterday. He's only been retired 1 year.
That's wild that he played well into his 40s. Like,
you would think really he was retired.
Yeah, that was the first time. I'm like, damn, he's 46. He just.
So he just won a Super Bowl.
3 years
he was still
ago?
40.
Was
he was 40, what, 43?
About
43.
About 42, 43.
Hold on, I'll tell you.
He won a Super Bowl in his 40s.
You got Patrick Mahomes won.
Then you got Patrick Mahomes again. And then you have Rams. So it's 4 years ago. Bucks.
Okay.
2020.
2020, wow.
So he won a Super Bowl.
Some would say it was the bubble ring. No, I'm just playing with you guys.
Wow. Was it the bubble?
No. It was during the COVID year, though. But it was right before COVID year. Remember, the season ends in February, and I think COVID really picked up around March, April.
Okay. Nah, his is real. His is real.
Yeah, his is definitely real, yeah. All right. I want to do a 2-minute drill, but we're going to do it in 3 minutes. Cool?
Okay.
All right.
So why don't we just call it a 3-minute drill?
Because it's still 2-minute drill. And now we're under 3 minutes. Thank you, BC. All right. We need to touch on some hoops. And for a couple minutes before, because the Celtics actually whooped up on the Warriors by 52. Oh, my God. 52 points.
It's crazy.
You heard me right. Steph and company are embarrassed in Boston. And the only question we need to know is, can we safely now say that the Warriors dynasty is finally dead? Let's go, B. You got 2 minutes.
I'm going to be quick here. I thought it was dead before they won their last one. I felt like, you know, that was a surprise to me, and that was shocking to see them win that one.
Right.
But it showed the power of team and chemistry, all those guys being together. And so when you look at where they're at now, I don't see how they get it done. Steph is not enough.
Yes, that's not enough.
Like, nowadays, BC, I feel like you got to have three dudes that can go.
Right. And then, you know, you get in the half of Clay, Draymond.
Wiggins kind of fizzled out.
Yeah, well, Wiggins is out with a personal family issue again. This happened last season, and then again now he's out indefinitely with a personal matter. So, you know, it's the consistency, and then he's playing with all these young guys. So, yeah, I think, yeah, I kind of agree. I thought it was over before they lost, before they won, but then they won, so I'm not, don't count them out. You know what I mean? They can do it. But not with all these things happening and their play right now. They just gave Steve Kerr an extension, so he's not going anywhere.
Can we blame Draymond?
Steph's not going anywhere. I think Draymond has something to do with it.
I mean, he did literally set it off with the punch to pull, and then it kind of took his confidence.
Man, it was over after that.
And it was over after that.
It was over before that to me.
It was over. Yeah, I mean, personally, I think they should have probably sold off of Draymond while his value was still a little high, and got some other pieces that they could have built around Steph and Clay. Clay, I don't think, is going to be there much longer. He's probably out this summer. I'm not sure exactly what his contract situation is, but he's probably out of there this summer. They're going to move on from that. Draymond, if I was them, I would move off of Draymond as well and really try to retool around Steph. Dre is cool. I understand the respect thing and everything. He's been there and he has a relationship and he's ingratiated himself with the organization. But basketball, like how B likes to say, from a basketball standpoint, I think they should move on from Draymond and really try to tool it around Steph.
Well, BC, they are too late, it seems like. The era is over. And you know what else is over, BC?
The show.
This was a great Monday morning or Monday afternoon, whenever you're listening to SiriusXM Faction Talk Channel 103, Paper Route, presented by I Am Athlete with Andrew. Andrew Felix. Woo. And also BC Jerome.
In the booth.
Jerome and Brandon Tyrone Marshall. We will see you tomorrow. Peace.